faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Kellogg's Pep. Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, Clark Kent is worried about the mysterious absence of his young co-workers, unaware that Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin stand in dire peril of their lives.
Hello there, gang. This is your pal, Dan McCullough. You know, even if you tried, I'll bet you couldn't think of a more exciting prize than those comic buttons in that brand new series Kellogg's Pep is putting out. Think of it. Brenda Starr and Flash Gordon, Vitamin Flintheart, and Superman in full brilliant colors on sturdy white enameled metal buttons that look mighty swell pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. 18 new and different buttons in this new series to collect and to trade duplicates with your friends. Boy, what a hobby. What fun to compare notes on how many all the fellows and girls have collected and to look for a new one whenever Mom opens a new package of Pep. That's the easy way and the only way to get these comic buttons, you know. You don't have to send in a single penny, not even a box stop. Fact is, you can't buy them anywhere, but you just ask Mom to get you a good supply of Kellogg's Pep and look for your comic button as a prize inside every package you open. And say, speaking of prizes, how about the good eating you get in Kellogg's Pep, too? Sure, that's a prize winner, all right. Pep is so fresh and crisp and toasty, full up to the brim with catchy sunshine flavor. You know, Pep is called the sunshine cereal because it gives you good old sunshine vitamin D that Mom will tell you is mighty important. So ask Mom for lots of P-E-P, the sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
And now the adventures of Superman.
Suspecting that Poco, editor White's little cook, was being swindled by racketeers who had promised to publish a song he had written, Jimmy Olsen decided to do something about it and stepped into trouble. Pretending to be gullible would-be songwriters, Jimmy and Beanie Martin, the Daily Planet copy boy, visited the office of the racketeers and agreed to invest $250 in Poco's song, a simple ditty called Dizzy Lizzy. Jimmy drew the money from the bank and marked the bills, planning to call in the police afterwards. But the self-styled Professor Blessing, president of the bogus publishers, had become suspicious of Jimmy and investigated him. Then, when the cub reporter and Beanie returned with the marked banknotes, the professor threw off his polished manner and snarled.
So you kids thought you could trap me, eh? Okay, you asked for trouble and you're going to get it. Go to work on them, Froggy.
As we continue now in Professor Blessing's private office, Froggy, the professor's burly, flat-nosed henchman, is advancing on Jimmy and Beanie, a snub-nosed revolver almost hidden in his huge hand. Listen.
Thought you were smart, huh? Gonna slip us marked money and turn us over to the cops, huh, Mr. Reporter?
Who, me?
Hey, don't point that gun at us, mister. Might go off.
Hold it, Froggy.
Huh? What for, Professor?
You can't shoot in here. You want to have everybody in the building and the cops on our necks?
Gee, that's right. I forgot about the noise.
Now, wait, Professor.
You better not try any funny business. Remember, my paper knows where I am.
Yeah, that's right.
How interesting. Slug them now, Froggy.
Hey.
Jeepers, Jim's out like...
Good work, Froggy. That takes care of them.
I don't get it. What you just want to knock them out for, Professor?
If you had a brain in your head, you'd know. Quick, there must be some rope in the other office. Get it.
What for? Ain't we just going to shoot them?
Will you stop asking questions and do as you're told?
Well, sure, but...
Then do it fast. I'll gag them meanwhile.
Hello?
Oh, Chief, this is Clark Kent. Listen, I want you to talk to Poco.
I was just about to leave the house. I'll be in the office in an hour.
Well, I'm glad I caught you before you left. I want you to talk to Poco.
Poco?
Uh-huh.
What for?
Well, Jim and Beanie are out. Nobody seems to know where. But I've got a hunch they went out on something to do with Poco and that they might be in trouble.
No. More trouble?
Uh-huh.
Now what?
Well, I had a rather strange phone call from a man who said his name was Anstruther, Mr. William Anstruther.
Who's he?
I don't know. But he said a reporter claiming to be Jim Olsen was in his office to get some important information. He described him, and it was our Jim, all right. But when I asked him his address and what it was all about, he hung up on me.
So what? You told him it was Jim, which is all he wanted to know. The trouble with you, Kent,
no, wait a minute, Chief. Wait. After this Anstruther hung up, I tried to find him in the telephone directory, but he wasn't listed. And he isn't listed in the city directory either.
He isn't?
No, and here's something else.
Vini told Mary Hennig that he and Jim are going out on a big story.
What?
But Bill Burrows on the city desk says he didn't assign any story to Jim today.
Say, that is funny. Where did Jim go then? Why did he take Beanie along?
That's what bothers me. I think it has something to do with Poco.
Why? How does that tie in with Poco?
Because Jim practically admitted that Poco was in trouble, and he said he was going to get him out of it.
He is?
Uh-huh. I told him to stay put at the Planet when I had to rush over to City Hall on that strike story, but when I got back, he was gone.
Well, I'll have something to say to him about that. And to Beanie, too.
Never mind that now, Chief. I'm worried, and I want to see the week...
Relax. You fuss about Jim like a mother hen. He's no baby, you know.
No, I know, but I still think we ought to do...
Anyhow, we don't know that he's in any trouble at all. Just because somebody named Anstruther calls up...
Anstruther!
There's no reason to go off half-cocked. But I'll talk to Poco. Talk to him right now. I'll get out of him once and for all just what this mystery is all about.
Well, tell him it's important that we know what's going on, because Jim and Beanie may be in trouble.
I know what to tell him. Now, you relax, Kent. I'll call you back as soon as I finish talking with Poco.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
As Perry White goes off to question Poco, Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin have regained consciousness in Professor Blessing's office and find themselves alone, bound and gagged tightly hand and foot. Then, digging their faces frantically into the carpet, they finally succeed in working the gags from their mouths.
I got the gag out. How about you, Beanie?
I got mine out, too. But I had to eat about a pound of carpet.
Never mind that. Where are the professor and his gorilla Froggy?
How do I know? All I hope is that they don't come back.
Won't that be dandy?
Boy, when that Froggy pulled his gun, I thought it was curtains for us, Jim.
So did I. Well, now we gotta try to work these ropes off.
Oh, gosh, they're tight.
Wait, Beanie.
What's the matter?
I thought I heard something.
I don't hear anything.
I don't either, now. But a second ago, I thought I did. Sounded as if it were in the outer office.
How can you hear anything out there? The door of the partitions are too thick. Don't you remember when we were in the outer office and the professor and Froggy were in here? We got up right close to the door, but we couldn't hear a thing.
That's right. Well, maybe I only thought I heard something. Maybe they're not out there.
What were you talking about?
The professor and Froggy, of course. But why would they go out and leave us just tied up when they practically said they were gonna finish us?
Gee, Wes, I don't know. But I'm sure glad they...
Unless...
Unless what?
Unless they... Look at the professor's desk, Beanie.
Hmm?
And his file. See how the drawers are all pulled out with the papers all over the floor?
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, maybe they got scared and packed up and scrammed.
I don't think so. Exactly.
You don't?
No, we know too much about them. And they're tough eggs.
They sure are. Especially that Froggy character.
I just think they moved their important papers and stuff out of here, just in case we did tip the police off.
But what about...
Then I figure they'll come back and get rid of us when it's dark, and nobody's in the building.
Oh, jeepers.
Smell that?
Smell what?
Professor Blessing's cigar. He left it burning on a smoking stand, so he must be figuring to come back soon.
Gee, where's Jim? What are we going to do?
I don't know. If we could only get these ropes off.
I can't even start to get mine off.
Wait, Beanie, I know.
What?
The phone on the desk. If we can get to that.
Yeah, that... No. Our ankles are tied and we can't get up. So how can we get to the phone?
We can roll over and bang against the desk. The phone is near the edge of it, and maybe the banging will knock it to the floor. Then we'll call up Mr. King.
Well, how are we going to call him with our hands tied behind us?
That's right. Wait. We only have to dial the O for the operator. When she answers, we'll give her the number.
How are we going to dial even one number?
That pencil over there on the floor.
Huh?
I'll put the pencil in my teeth and dial the operator that way.
Gosh, you think you can?
I've got to. It's our only chance. Come on now. Roll over to the desk and bump that telephone off.
Yep. I can bump it off.
We've got it. Come on, let's get busy before the professor and Froggy get back.
Gritting their teeth, Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin roll across the carpet to Professor Blessing's desk and begin butting themselves against it in a desperate effort to knock over the telephone and thus contact Clark Kent before the racketeers return. We'll know what happens in a moment when we return for the startling climax of today's episode. So stand by!
You know, gang, I was passing the school in our neighborhood this morning just about recess time, and I met up with a couple of kids who were really going to town collecting that brand new series of comic buttons from packages of Kellogg's Pep. They got a swell start on collecting all 18 different buttons. Right then, they were swapping duplicates with each other. One young fella had two Superman buttons, and the other had two of Barney Google. Each one needed the button that the other had two of to add to his collection. Yes, sir, it's mighty exciting fun to compare notes with your pals and see who has the most different Pep comic buttons. Seems like, well, you're not in the swing these days unless you're collecting these swell prizes. So better get going on your collection. Ask Mom to get you a good supply of Kellogg's Pep. That's the only way you can get these comic buttons, you know. You can't buy them anywhere, and you don't send in any money, not even a box stop. But you just look inside every package of Kellogg's Pep you open, and there's your comic button. And what else do you get from a box of Pep? Why, a mighty terrific dish for breakfast. Yes, sir. A bowl of those sunny golden toasted flakes of good whole wheat is just the thing to start off your day with a bang. So ask Mom for Pep. P-E-P. The Sunshine Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
In the private office of Professor Blessing, the racketeer, Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin, tied hand and foot, have been butting themselves against the desk, trying to dislodge the telephone. Finally...
teetering on the edge of the desk now. Come on, Beanie. Sock it good once more.
Okay, Jim.
There, that does it.
I figured he. Boy, am I pooped?
Yeah, so am I. But don't stop to rest now. The professor and Froggy might come back any minute.
What are you doing now?
Trying to get the pencil in my mouth. On first.
Oh. Well, there, you're getting it. Work it around with your tongue. Boy, you got it right now.
I'll draw an operator and call Mr. Kent.
Oh, creepers, hurry up. Can you get the pencil and the dial?
Uh-huh. It's pretty tough to spin a dial.
Gee whiz. If only the professor doesn't come back before... Hey. What's that?
What?
Don't you smell anything?
Smell? Say...
The wastebasket's on fire.
Huh? Gosh, it is. How'd that happen?
Well, a smoking stand fell in it when the phone tipped it over and the professor's lighted cigar set it afire. Jim, look, the window drapes are catching fire.
Holy Felicis, we gotta put it out.
How are we gonna? We can't even stand up.
We gotta do something, Beanie. We've gotta do something. And fast.
Thoroughly frightened, Jimmy Olsen and Beanie Martin cast about for a means of escape. As the flames leap up the cloth window drapes to the ceiling, spread to the papered walls, and then attack the flimsy furniture. Meanwhile, in his office at the Daily Planet, Clark Kent, worried about his two young friends, still waits to learn what Perry White found out from Poco, hoping to find in that a clue to Jim's and Beanie's whereabouts. What will happen now? Tomorrow's episode tells how Superman learns of Jim's and Beanie's predicament, so don't miss it. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time by Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal.
You know, gang, one word leads to another, like the way those toasty words, crisp, crunchy, crinkly, lead you right on to Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles, so toasty and sweet and mellow rich on a frosty morning. It's the only cereal in the whole wide world made in those little crinkly shreds of good whole wheat. And so good for you. Sure, Mom knows that. In fact, she'd probably like to see you eat up a bowl of Crumbles for breakfast tomorrow. Crisp, crunchy, crinkly, Crumbles, Kellogg's Crumbles. And be sure to be with us on Monday for the thrilling adventures of Superman. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.